Well, tonight we want to continue to look at the work of the Holy Spirit, and there are a couple of things that we're going to be looking at. The first thing is the matter of prayer and the role of the Holy Spirit in praying. I think we all realize that prayer is absolutely, totally essential in our lives. Maybe sometime I'll do a whole series on prayer. But I know that we have to learn how to pray individually. We need to pray in small groups. We need to pray in families. We need to pray. Prayer partners are good, someone you can share in prayer. We need to learn how to pray. And by the way, I didn't learn how to pray until I studied the Scripture. In the churches I attended, I didn't learn how to pray. The way a lot of people pray is not led by the Holy Spirit of God. If the Holy Spirit is not involved in prayer, it's not true prayer. Let me say that again. If the Holy Spirit is not involved in prayer, it's not true prayer. So, turn with me first to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 16. As I read this, I remember John Wesley said, "He whoever prays, praises, and he whoever praises, prays." And so there is an intimate relationship between praising God and praying, and between praying and praising God. One of the first things I do when I come in the morning in the study there to pray is to praise God. And I use the Hebrew names of God. I did a study on that many years ago. Maybe someday I'll do that again. Because if you come to know the Hebrew names of God, you can begin to understand who God is. And when you begin to understand who God is, praise is a natural response. And then, as we praise Him and come into His presence and we become one with His presence, then we begin to respond and we begin to hear, because praying is hearing from God. It's not just speaking to God, it's hearing from God. So the Scripture says in verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 5, "Rejoice always, keep praising God." Marilyn and I promised we would praise God in all things. In 1969, in a service in Pittsburgh, I was teaching at Grove City College, and we went down to that service, and a pastor, Merlin Carruthers, who had been a pastor in Claypool, Indiana, a church I grew up in, way back. It would have been, I guess, Merlin came there, I suppose, in the early 50s, or maybe the mid-50s. Anyway, he was a young pastor there, and then he has written several praise books. I think he's still living. We promised we would praise God in all things. I got through cancer and healing from cancer. It took 6 years. But the most important thing by far in walking in faith was praising Him and rejoicing and praising as I prayed. And then pray without ceasing. What about praying without ceasing? You cannot do that, nor can you rejoice always, unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, moving with the Spirit of God, and anointed by the Spirit of God. That's why every week we always ask, I always ask, is there anyone here, I'll ask again before when we get to prayer time, is there anyone here who has not been baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Because I see that you can get into heaven without it, but you can't really fulfill all of the commands of the Scriptures without the baptizing power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But what about praying without ceasing? Can we really do that? Well, not if we understand it as some unbroken continuity where we never stop praying. But really, the words there mean this, that we will pray without omitting any occasion which the Holy Spirit brings for us to pray. We, in other words, see, the Holy Spirit will direct us if we are baptized in the Spirit, sensitive to the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit will direct us. Many times when someone asks for prayer, just like this young man asked for prayer, the Lord will say, pray right now. Don't wait. Pray now. Sometimes I do that in public if someone comes and stops. And when the Holy Spirit anoints, we need to pray so that we don't miss an occasion which the Holy Spirit has brought that we are to pray. And we begin with the day with prayer and we end the day with prayer. And any other time that the Holy Spirit leads us to pray, but something else we'll come to in just a few minutes where we can actually be praying, as it were, without speaking words. Because God wants us to be an attitude of prayer. I think I mentioned one other teaching that Pastor Wormbrand told me many years ago. He was imprisoned by the communists for many years. And in one of his books, and I don't remember which one it was, but might have been Tortured for Christ, he said that we ought to be able to say amen after everything we speak. In other words, our words, if we are perfect in word, we are perfect. And so we ought to allow the Holy Spirit to anoint us when we speak. In everything give thanks. Now, we enter into His gates with thanksgiving. In other words, we thank God for the things He does. So we continue to thank Him. I'm still thanking God for healing from cancer 28 years ago. I still thank God that my son was brought out of a lake when he was 5 years old by an angel. Because he couldn't swim I still thank God that God healed my oldest grandson. 4 years ago, was it? Chris was healed. But anyway, we need to remember those things that God has done. And the Holy Spirit will bring those things to us. It's one of the works of the Holy Spirit. He will bring those things to us. He will remind us. If we don't quench the Spirit, He'll remind us. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is the one who will cause you to be able to fulfill God's will. Without the Holy Spirit, you will not be able to fulfill God's will. We do need to determine our will. Lord, I will to follow your will. But the Holy Spirit needs to remind us. And the Holy Spirit needs to strengthen us and speak to us. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. See, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, when you're baptized in the Spirit, you begin to move in the Spirit, when you obey, and when you pray, and God asks you to pray, just like praying for this young man who has cancer. I believe the Holy Spirit led me to pray the way I prayed. I don't know how to pray unless the Holy Spirit is leading me, and you don't know how to pray unless the Holy Spirit is leading you. This is the thing that I've learned in the over 30 years of having a meeting here in this room. It is that we need to hear from God. This is what we do. Some of you have been here and you know that we wait on the Lord. We want to pray. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. I need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying and you need to hear because we don't know when the person sits down for prayer. We don't know. And many times, God will just speak through the Holy Spirit and give those words that we need. But we must not quench the Spirit. That's why I like everyone to, when we begin to pray, everyone to begin to participate. Even if you're not praying over someone, you are participating. Or if you pray in the Spirit, which we'll say more about in a minute, if you pray in the Spirit, just quietly pray in the Spirit. Because as people are praying and praying in the Spirit, this allows more of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to flow. And the more the whole group, this is one of the things that I have longed for, and now we're beginning to see more and more and more. That is that the Holy Spirit is moving in this person, this person, this person, this person. And when the Holy Spirit is moving and speaking to people, then, and when the Holy Spirit is speaking so that everything that this person says, or this person says, or this person prays, or this person has a word, when it all fits together in one, we know that's the Holy Spirit. Because there is no way
Someone has a vision. Someone has an interpretation. Someone has a further part of that interpretation. When it all fits together, and the person who may be receiving prayer, it makes sense for them. That's how I got involved, really, in praying in the Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit, because people would say, oh yes, that's right. That's right. And so I would be encouraged. And we are here together to encourage one another, to lift one another, so that we can let the body come alive. God is not interested in superstars. And this is the thing that God has said to me about the end time revival. And I believe, as sure as I'm standing here, this is beginning to develop. When I was in China, none of those pastors or students were superstars, nor were they known. But they were on fire for God. And we were united together, and the Holy Spirit was moving in great and tremendous power. Because the more there is agreement, the more power comes. Examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good now. May the God of peace, in Hebrew, the God of Shalom himself, sanctify you entirely. I'm going to preach a message tomorrow morning on sanctification, so I don't want to get over off into that message that I want to preach in Georgetown. But God wants to set us apart. Sanctify means to set apart to something. And when we are set apart to God, we are set apart to holiness, His holiness. And so, only by prayer and only by following the anointing of the Spirit, so that your whole spirit, soul, and body... See, the Holy Spirit's for the spirit, but the Holy Spirit's for the soul, and the Holy Spirit's for the body. And when you pray with people under the anointing of the Spirit, you will be praying. I'm not sure we'll get to it tonight. But when we get to that talking about physical healing, because Luke 4:18 is one of the things that I'll get to, but I'm not sure we'll be able to cover all tonight. But when we get to that, I've seen more clearly than ever before that physical healing of the body is totally and intimately related with what the Holy Spirit will show you about a person's spirit. See, a person has a spirit. Then a person has a soul, a will, a mind, and an emotions. And the peace that Jesus wants to bring is a peace within your spirit, a peace within your soul. And your heart is the center of your being. And your heart, in the scripture, is really a word which signifies this is the center of your spirit and your soul. And there needs to be peace and wholeness there before wholeness comes in the body. Physical healing. And so, in the fact the Lord spoke to me tonight, and we're going to pray. Someone needs prayer tonight, and it has to do with peace in your heart. It has to do with wholeness. See, wholeness is intimately related to holiness. There is no holiness without wholeness. Of an intimate relationship between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit working in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. Because the body is for the Lord. It's not just your spirit, but the spirit and the soul and the body. And so prayer needs, so that we can be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, involves praising, praying without ceasing, praying on those occasions when the Holy Spirit leads us to pray, praying in the way that the Holy Spirit leads us to pray. And understanding that prayer, God should lead us through the Holy Spirit to speak to, when we're praying for the person, to speak something maybe about their spirit, something about their soul, something maybe about their body. Because we are one. We are Trinity. Now, Jude 20. Years ago, I used to avoid certain passages like this, but in my gray-haired days, I have decided that I need to speak what the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, wherever that takes us. And however that may affect you, we love you. Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up. Now, there's a way you can build yourselves up, but not through your activity or your flesh or your strength. You may build yourself up in the weight room for a little while. It's not going to last you too long, but you may build yourself a level, but you can't build yourself up spiritually. You can't. It's the Holy Spirit. Yes, he comes from the Father and the Son, Jesus. And so Jesus does. But it's the Holy Spirit that's the agent that builds you up spiritually. Up on your most holy faith. In other words, you need to be built up in faith. Faith is a gift. Faith is not worked up by someone who says, I'm going to believe God no matter what anyone says. I'm going to believe God and I'm going to act. No. Get the I out of there. You are a receiver. You are a passive receiver of the gift of the Spirit of God, and God wants to put faith in you, and one of the ways he will help build your faith up is you pray in the Holy Spirit. You pray in the Holy Spirit. Okay. What about praying in the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 14. Now, I'm not here to say that I know all of the ways that one can pray in the Holy Spirit. But I know that there is a scriptural definition. Maybe there are other ways to pray in the Spirit. In fact, sometimes I feel like asking people who object to certain things, especially what I'm going to get to next, in 1 Corinthians 14, they object to the gift of tongues, and the overemphasis. And we have never, in 30 years here, we have never overemphasized the gift of tongues. I mean, when we pray for people to be baptized in the Spirit, I mean, I don't insist that people speak in tongues. I think it's an important gift. I think it's the least of the gifts, but nevertheless, it's an important gift. And there are reasons why, but here's one of the reasons why. Here's one of the reasons why it's important. Because what it says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. So also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, in other words, this Corinthian church was, they had some trouble inside the church. And they had some sin inside the church. I used to think, by the way, that when people got baptized in the Holy Spirit, that would automatically mean that they would be no divisions and no main problems, but that isn't true. That isn't true. Now, it will be true when the Holy Spirit's work is completely finished. Because when the Holy Spirit's work is completely finished, he's going to purify not just the individuals, but the entire church. The entire church. But listen to what it says. Verse 12, chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. So also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts. Notice they are spiritual gifts. They are Holy Spirit gifts. Later in this series, I will teach on each one of the gifts. We will talk and we will pray. And we will ask God as we do that, that God might begin to move as we pray. Because we need the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit of God to move. But they are from the Holy Spirit. The Greek word charisma can just mean a gift. I could give you recorder or a tape. That's a gift. That's a charisma. But a pneumaticos, in other words, a spiritual gift, is a gift that only the Holy Spirit can give from the Father and from the Son. So a spiritual gift in order to abound for edification of the church, the building up the church. One of the great lies of Satan is spiritual gifts divide the church. No, they don't. They can't. It's impossible. the way a person may use them might divide, especially if one is arrogant or prideful, or if one on the other end mocks the gifts and say they don't exist, that can divide on both extremes. But an actual gift of the Holy Spirit, by definition, the Holy Spirit can't divide. The Holy Spirit can only bring together. And it is for edification of the body, to bring the body together. Because you see, when the body is brought together, when we pray and we agree together, when the body agrees, the power of God is released. I mean, one of the reasons why there isn't more power of God released is because the body of Christ is divided. This person says this, and this has this theology, and this idea. And the body is divided, and it limits. Division always limits God, and Satan loves division, and he always tries to bring division. Therefore, let the one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. So, we know this. When Jude says, pray in the Spirit, that one type of praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. And so, listen to what it says then next. When I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I shall pray with the Spirit, and I shall pray with the mind, and I shall sing with the Spirit, and I shall sing with the mind. Now, we haven't done much praying in the Spirit, or I mean singing in the Spirit here. I don't say anything to the worship leaders about this. I think it needs to occur spontaneously. Where there have been times when we have seen the whole group where praying in or singing in the Spirit is released. And there is a great power of the Holy Spirit is released when we sing in the Spirit. I've heard actually people sing a prayer. I've seen people sing a prophecy. We had a seminary student many, many years ago who had a tremendous gift because he would constantly be led by the Lord to sing a prophecy over someone. Sometimes he would sing in the Spirit, and then he would sing the English. But singing in the Spirit, I remember one man who sat over here, a different couch, but sat over there where Ray is, and we were singing in the Spirit and praising God, and he fell down on the floor and needed deliverance, and we took him into the study, and because he was demonized. He had several different types of demonic power in him. But I mean, just the singing in the Spirit itself convicted him. It frightened people here because he fell down making a lot of noise. But we got him out over into the study. But this is why I tell people, no, you don't have to pray in tongues. But praying in tongues in a prayer language, is an important thing. Because as I pray in the Spirit, it gets me on the wavelength of the Holy Spirit of God, and it opens up more of the supernatural gifts of the Spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word of prophecy, as I pray in the Spirit. Because I am building up my spirit man. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can build up your spirit man. And this is why I tell people when we pray for them to be baptized in the Spirit, if they don't enter in, that they should seek it. The Bible says seek it. Don't demand it. Seek it. And then, as God brings you, I entered into it when I was alone praising God and just ran out of English words. And so then I just began. It doesn't take you long to run out of English words to praise God. And then I began to pray in the Spirit. And I thought at first it was me, and I quit, and then another time, and I quit. And then finally I realized that, hey, this is the Spirit of God. Then I had confirmation later that it was the Spirit of God. This is also an unceasing prayer, and praying on all occasions. You can actually pray, if I get into a tight situation or where there is a situation where I believe that there's a lot of dark power. I was in China. We were in the heavenly temple, and there was an oppression, and I began praying in the Spirit, quietly. Because you can even pray in the Spirit mentally. You don't even have to. I was overjoyed one time when I was out running, and the Lord showed me that I could pray in the Spirit, even though I was not actually speaking. Pastor Wormbrand and Sabina Wormbrand said they kept their sanity in prison as they prayed much in the Spirit. Pastor Popov, who was in my classes back in the 1970s, I remember him saying how he was tortured, terribly tortured. And he was weak, and he had been starved, and he was sick, and he was alone on the bed, and he began to pray in the Spirit. And he kept praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. And then as he got off the bed, he had prayed in the Spirit for hours and hours. I don't know, maybe even a day. I don't remember how long it was. The presence of the Spirit was so strong that people that he went by were knocked back by the power of the Spirit, and several repented, were convicted of their sin, as the Holy Spirit was upon him. And so God wants us to pray in the Spirit. Now, here's the most important key for praying in the Spirit. And it's 1 John 5:14-15. 1 John 5:14-15. I learned this many years ago, so let me quote it from memory. This is the confidence. Now, this word confidence. I looked it up today again. This Greek word means a blunt, bold, open certainty of what God has said and will do. Without doubt. Without doubt. A confidence that is bold without doubt. This is the way we are to pray. God does not want us to pray, and you are not led by the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, when you pray this way, you are admitting you are not led by the Spirit of God. When you pray, if it's your will, Lord. Whenever you pray, if it's your will, you are admitting you do not know the will of God. And prayer is to be, I'll finish the quotation and show you here more about it in a minute, but prayer, led by the Spirit of God, is confident. And the Holy Spirit knows. And the Holy Spirit can reveal to you. Now that doesn't mean every time I pray or you pray that I am confident. But I need to pray and wait until the Holy Spirit makes alive so that I know. I can't just repeat the promise. I mean, just repeating the promise is not going to make me confident. But if I confess the Word, and He actually, through the Spirit, and the Spirit's the only one that can put this into your heart, if the promise is put in your heart, then you can be confident because God has put that promise so that you know, without doubt, you know, this is what God wants to do. This is why, as I have prayed under the leading of the Holy Spirit, why when other gifts of the Spirit are operating, let's say word of knowledge, let's say I have a word that someone has this particular problem, and I speak that, and then someone says, yes, that's me, and they acknowledge that and are ready to receive it, then almost never have I not seen the power of God move. In other words, if I hear from the Holy Spirit of God and someone recognizes and says, yes, that's me, and they recognize, so that I have recognized and they recognize, then the power of God is released. I had it happen one time where I was preaching, and a word of knowledge about a particular kind of healing came. This was of a lower back, and before I ever got down to pray, when I got down there to pray, the person had already been healed. I started to pray for him. He said, well, when you spoke that, I received it, and I was healed. before I ever got there to pray over him. So, it's not the way you pray. It's not how fervently you pray. It's when you are led by the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God speaks. Now, let's finish this quotation. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So the key in all praying is whether God hears us or not. Not whether he says yes or no. Not whether he says yes or no. It is whether he hears us. I don't mean he's deaf. It's whether he chooses to hear us, and he chooses not to hear us when we pray against his will. He chooses to hear us when we pray according to his will. And this is why I said earlier, you are not led by the Spirit of God when you pray, if it's your will. I'm not saying you're sinning. It's just not a Holy Spirit-led prayer. Because whenever you pray, if it's your will, whatever happens, you then say, well, that was the will of God. Well, how do you know? I mean, you mean you pray over someone with cancer and they die, and because they die, that's God's will? Well, a lot of things happen on the earth that are not God's will. I mean, God has not fated everything. And Satan exists. And Satan is working against. I mean, listen, Satan, I would have been dead 28 years ago if Satan had had his way. And I had to pray through that, and I had to pray and find out, and God spoke, said, no, I'm not through with you. Well, he said, he gave me Psalm 118, verse 19 or something, I forgot. I have not given you over to die, but to live and to tell of the works of the Lord. And so, we need to, and sometimes the Holy Spirit will take something in the Word, and he will make it clear to you, and it will be just like a word from heaven, like I'm going to come to Daniel here in a minute. And the angel Gabriel came to Daniel and spoke directly to Daniel. And most of us don't get an angel. But nevertheless, even if it isn't an angel, I mean, God had some special purpose for Daniel. But even if it isn't the angel Gabriel, God wants to speak to us. And it's the Holy Spirit that will speak to us, unless God sends an angel. And then it can be one of his, and the angel Gabriel, of course, is the messenger angel directly at the right hand of God. Now, I want to show you, some people object and say, well, didn't Jesus pray, if it's your will? Let's look at that, Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Verse 38. Jesus is in Gethsemane. Well, let me start at verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. So just before the garden, just before the crucifixion, Jesus prays. And he took with him Peter and his two sons, the two sons of Zebedee, and they began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. Now we'll see in a minute why he was so grieved. He was not grieved over dying physically. Many men have died courageously in a physical sense. So Jesus was not deeply grieved over dying physically. He understood that he needed to. He told Peter, he said he was going to die. And Peter objected, and Peter said, no, Lord, you won't die. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because it is only through death, only by dying to ourselves. And Jesus took the cross before he was physically nailed to the cross. Died to his own will. His own mind. His own emotions. And so, It isn't that Jesus prays an if it's your will prayer in regard to whether he's going to die. He's already told them. He knew he had to die physically. And he went on a little beyond them, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, but yet not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, there's where people mistake. This is not an if it's your will prayer. He understands he has to die. But he's saying, Father, is it possible that there's some other way that I won't be delivered into hell? And separated, he was never separated from his Father. That's why he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, not because he feared physical death. Because he was one with the Father, he had never been separated from the Father. We don't understand what Jesus did on the cross, even the Passion, even that movie. It does show the physical suffering, but it cannot depict. No one can depict what Jesus really agonized through and why he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Because he knew he would be separated from his Father and delivered into hell 3 days. To win the battle over Satan and hell and death, to defeat death totally. Not just on the cross, but to defeat death and the judgment of hell. He took the judgment of hell, the worst the enemy could bring. He took it. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have to take the judgment of hell. And he was saying, Father, I know I have to die, but is there any other way that I wouldn't be separated from you? You're not praying an if it's your will prayer. But, he said, then he found the disciples, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And then he found the disciples sleeping. And he said, couldn't you keep watch with me for 1 hour? They couldn't pray for 1 hour. I'll tell you why they couldn't pray for 1 hour. He hadn't died. He hadn't come back from the grave. And when he came back from the grave, he was on the earth 40 days, and then he went to the right hand of the Father, and then from the right hand of the Father came the Holy Spirit of God. And they were baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Then, they knew how to pray. And every one of the disciples was martyred, except Judas. And John, who was boiled in oil by the Emperor Domitian, but lived miraculously. But all the others were killed. And so, and by the way, my eyes just fell on this verse that I didn't intend to read. But in verse 30, just before this, they sang a hymn. And then they went out to the Mount of Olives. And they were praising God. The great halal, the great hallelujah. Psalms 117, 118. Well, starts with 114. The great hallelujah they sang before the crucifixion. So, now back. So understand that it isn't Jesus is not praying, Lord, do I have to die? Well, I hope I don't have to die. He's not praying that. Now, back to 1 John 5, 14-15. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we don't ask according to his will, he doesn't hear us. So if you don't know his will, keep praying until you do. You don't know his will, and you will not know until the Holy Spirit even either takes a word from the Word to make it alive to you, or he speaks something, because not everything of the will of God is revealed in the Scripture. And so the Holy Spirit sometimes have to, for example, when I prayed about my own, he gave me a Scripture to make me realize that God was not through with me on the earth. And I could go ahead and pray for my healing and believe for it. Now we need this knowledge. Then it says, if we know he hears us, did you ever notice when Lazarus was raised from the grave? Or before Lazarus was raised from the grave? See, Jesus didn't raise everyone from the grave. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He heard from the Father. Therefore, the Father heard him. And he knew Lazarus was coming out from the grave. It's just like Peter and John, the man at the gate beautiful. They didn't call every cripple to rise up and walk. I had a faculty member when I first got to believe divine healing. I told him about it, and so he's not here now. But he said, well, why don't you just go up to St. Joseph Hospital and pray all those people out of there? You believe in divine healing? I said, well, giving his name, you guys wouldn't know him anyway. But anyway, I said, that's not what God... I mean, Jesus didn't do that. The disciples didn't do that. You pray for people where God opens his door, where the Holy Spirit opens the door, where you're to pray. So we know he hears us. So it's there's three no's here. We got to know his will. We got to know his will. You can't know his will without the Holy Spirit. You can't know his will without the Holy Spirit. Then you got another note. You got to know that he hears you. And he hears you when you've heard from him. So you got to know that you've heard from him. You got to know that you've heard from him. Then you can know he'll hear from you. Then we know that we already have the petitions we desire of him. In other words, we already know we've got it. No, no, no. That's K-N-O-W, not N-O. K-N-O-W each time. We know his will. We know he hears us. We know we have it. And the Holy Spirit is, you cannot know these things without the Holy Spirit working. There's absolutely no way. Now, Daniel knew. Daniel knew. And Daniel, by the way, was prime minister. That's my name for him. They may have had another name, but prime minister of Nebuchadnezzar, and interpreted dreams there. And of course, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and all the Hebrew men there, and you know the fiery furnace story, the lion's den story. And then the next empire that came along was the Medo-Persian Empire, and Darius the First was the first emperor of the Medo-Persian Empire. And Daniel, known by Darius, was brought into Darius' court as the premier or prime minister. And so, and by the way, a great catastrophe had just occurred in 586 BC. Jerusalem had been invaded, and Nebuchadnezzar, the kingdom just before the Medo-Persian Empire, had destroyed Jerusalem and deported the children of Israel. And God had judged the children of Israel. God had judged Israel. And Daniel was called. He was a prophet of God. And the prophets of God were always baptized in the Holy Spirit. Daniel was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, he was really filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I think he had several portions, like Elijah and Elisha. I don't understand this, but I do think that when people are baptized in the Holy Spirit, some get a little greater portion than others. I don't know why. It's an experience that I know is true, and I've prayed with I don't know how many people to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, but I don't know. I don't think God gives the same portion. Maybe it's because some people are just more open and like sponges and to receive. I think that's probably a key. But I mean, Daniel I love Daniel. I mean, Daniel is one of my heroes in the Bible. But he was a man of prayer. I mean, I don't know whether anyone was a greater man of prayer than Daniel. And I'm not going to go through all his prayer life, but I do want to... I wasn't even going to bring this in, but then this afternoon the Lord said, go to Daniel. Okay, all right, Lord. We'll go to Daniel. Yeah, Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. And Daniel is... This is something that I think we all need to be led by God to do. I think we need to begin... Don't you think with what's happening in America that we need to begin to quit complaining and wringing our hands and saying, what's going to happen? Oh, look at this, look at that. Isn't it terrible? All. Don't you think we need to begin to intercede and to begin to pray and to begin to take authority and to begin to allow the Holy Spirit of God and to understand that there are demonic powers and forces that are coming on the nations, preparing for the Antichrist. In the spiritual warfare series we did, those cosmic level spirits and those occult level spirits. Those cosmic level spirits, we're going to read about a couple of them here. Those cosmic level spirits, like Antichrist, over the whole world. Like Babylon, the spirit of Babylon, over the whole world. Then those occult level spirits that are over territories and cities that are assigned by Satan. And by the way, they came directly against Daniel. I'll guarantee you this. Whether you're ever called, we may not ever be called to pray like Daniel did. But we will be called to pray for individuals and for family. And I'll guarantee you that when you are led by the Holy Spirit of God and you begin to take authority, Satan will come against you. I mean, he will come against you strongly. When you begin to pray under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, he will resist you. He will resist you strongly. Let's look and see what he did with Daniel. Well, here's the key. This is the key that God was speaking to me this afternoon when I read this, and the Lord said to go to the book of Daniel. In Daniel 9 and verse 4, I'm just going to pick certain portions out of what Daniel prayed. I prayed to Yahweh. I'm going to use the Hebrew names of God here. I prayed to Yahweh, my Elohim. Elohim is the covenant name for God, the Father, covenanting with the Son and the Holy Spirit. And confessed and said, alas, O Yahweh, great and awesome Elohim, who keeps covenant, loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have acted wickedly. We have rebelled, even turning aside from thy commandments and thy ordinances. He's praying for the people. We need to begin to pray for the people of Wilmore. We need to begin to pray for the people of Kentucky. We need to begin to pray. I'm talking to myself. I don't do it enough. Not at all. We need to begin to pray for the people of America. We need to begin to repent. I've said several times that the church, God told me that most of the organized church is already apostate. I have not been praying for those apostates that they would repent. I have not been repenting for them. God wants us. See, I'll tell you this. Holy Spirit-led prayer will begin with repentance. Holy Spirit-led prayer will begin with repentance. God, am I rebelling? If these people are rebelling, if people at Asbury College are rebelling, if people at Asbury College other than yourself, if you don't have to repent, repent for them before God. Ask. Moses had to intercede so that the people of Israel wouldn't be destroyed. Several times, God's sovereign will ultimately won't be defeated, but the operation of his will on the earth can be altered by prayer. And we don't, you know, I teach this and I have not practiced. I know from reading this afternoon and speaking about this tonight, that I need to begin to confess and repent more for the college, the town, the state, the country. I don't know whether the hurricanes are a direct judgment of God. I don't know. I don't know. But we do know that God does use natural disasters. And could it be that God is trying to bring America, not just New Orleans, but bring America and for us to repent before God, that our nation would not be destroyed? Let's finish verse 5. We have sinned, we have committed iniquity, we have acted wickedly, we have rebelled, we have turned you from your commandments. Moreover, we have not listened, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets who spoke in thy name to our kings and our princes and our fathers and all the people of the land. Now, the prophets. God spoke to me a year or so ago. There are some people today in America who refer to themselves as prophets. Whenever anyone refers to themselves as prophets, I have a red flag. Now, I am not saying there are no prophets in the United States today. But to prophesy doesn't mean you're a prophet. Although while you are prophesying, the Bible refers to that as a prophet. It's not the office of a prophet like Jeremiah or Isaiah. And what God said to me, He said, "Son, when people talk about themselves as prophets, you look to the biblical prophets first. And see what they say. And see if what people are speaking who say they are prophets is consistent." So I say to you, if you hear someone say they are a prophet, test that. Got it. There are false prophets everywhere. And they're going to rise. There are false apostles, there are false prophets. And so God wants us to test. But see, the real prophets, we know Daniel was a real prophet. We don't have any question about Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and Moses, the greatest of the prophets. No question about them. And so they refuse to listen. And the true church is not listening to the prophets of God in the Bible. Now, verse 8. "Open shame belongs to us, Lord, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against thee." We need to confess our sin before God as we pray. The Holy Spirit will lead you to confess. The Holy Spirit will lead you to forgive. The Holy Spirit will lead you to repent. You will not be led, only if you are led by the Holy Spirit of God. It's hard for us to say, "I'm sorry. Forgive me." Half the time we think we're right. You still need to say, if there's a break. If you think you're right and they're wrong, you still need to say, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, "I'm sorry, forgive me. If I've done something that I didn't know," you still need to. I mean, the Holy Spirit is good. The Holy Spirit is never arrogant and will never allow you to be proud. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit hate pride, hate arrogance. I mean, the fear of the Lord is to hate pride and hate arrogance. The most important thing about an apostle, if you read 1 Corinthians, is their humility. Their humility. And when you're humble, you know you're a needy, needy person. You need God. You need God's power. You need God's Spirit speaking to you. Verse 9, "To Yahweh our Elohim belong compassion and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against Him." He's compassionate. He'll forgive. The Holy Spirit will show you that. The Holy Spirit's full of compassion and forgiveness because the Father is and the Son is. And the Holy Spirit will give you compassion. "Nor have we obeyed the voice of Yahweh our Elohim to walk in His teachings which we have set before us through His servants the prophets. Indeed, all Israel." And listen now, when it talks about Israel in the Old Testament, this has to do with the true church of God. Today, it has to do with the true church of God. Because all the promises to Israel back in the Old Testament are also promises given because we are of the seed of Abraham. We are attached to the tree. So the promises that are given to Israel are given to the true church. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed thy law. We have transgressed his law. And turned aside, not obeying thy voice. So the curse has been poured out on us along with an oath that was written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. The Ten Commandments become a curse when we are not in the Spirit of God. Only as by faith we receive faith from the Holy Spirit, act in faith, receive Christ, are born again, filled with the Spirit, do we have through the Holy Spirit the ability to follow the law. So that the law isn't a curse, but a blessing. In the Spirit. In the Spirit. And can only be a blessing in the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit leads. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed. Verse 12, thus he has confirmed his words, which he has spoken against us, and our rulers who ruled us, and to bring us great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been done anything what was done to Jerusalem. This is the destruction of Jerusalem in 586. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed for many reasons, but their sin was the key. When is it that America, under, I believe, already, a curse of God? When is it? Only for it, if for no other reason, that we have aborted over 40 million. We have killed over 40 million. We need to pray that a curse might be removed. It could be. I do not know. I don't have this from the Lord at all. It could be that the hurricanes, and someone on Fox News was talking about, we can't predict earthquakes, so we can't get ready for them. I'm not trying to frighten you at all. I'm just trying to say to you that we need to understand. Daniel took this seriously. He loved his people. These were the chosen people of God. In a way, America has been a chosen nation of God. The Puritans were certain that when they came to the New World, they were certain they were the new Israel. They were the new Jerusalem. And that America would be a sending nation around the world. And America has sent. More than any other nation has sent missionaries. I mean, we have been ascending. We have been a blessed people. Listen, people, we have been a blessed people. A blessed people. But this can't go on forever. I mean, New Orleans itself, and I'm not saying that this is because why the hurricane came there. Don't misunderstand me. But New Orleans is a sin city. It's one of the most sinful cities in America. Flaunting it. Out in the open. No shame. Isaiah and Jeremiah prophesy about a nation they don't know how to blush. And we need to pray that our nation will not come under the curse of God. And then chapter 10. Daniel gets a vision. He's terrified. He almost died. He almost died with this vision. It was awesome. And Gabriel was sent, before I read chapter 10, verse 12, Gabriel was sent, the angel Gabriel from the throne of God, the messenger angel. See, the archangel Michael is the warrior angel, and Gabriel is the messenger angel, and they are at the right and left hand of God. They are the highest of the angels, of the cherubim, seraphim. They are the highest, the battle angel and the messenger angel at the right hand of God. And so when Daniel prays, I don't think anyone ever prayed any more fervently than Daniel did. He practically came to the end of his life praying. fasting and praying. And then he got a vision. Gabriel gave him a vision. I don't have time to talk. It was about the end times. It was about what was going to happen. See, you got, this happened back at this time, but now Daniel gets what's going to happen at the end. And he gets a vision of the Antichrist rule. And see, there's an Antichrist spirit in the Medo-Persian Empire. And there's an Antichrist spirit. Well, see, you can go right back to Babylon. Babylon, there's an Antichrist spirit. Egypt, there's an Antichrist spirit. Assyria, there's an Antichrist spirit. Medo-Persia, there's an Antichrist spirit. Greece, there's an Antichrist spirit. Roman Empire, Antichrist spirit. The one to come in the future, Antichrist spirit. That controls. And so Daniel understands this. And he gets this vision about how temporarily, right at the end, probably 3.5 years, although I'm not certain of this, but probably 3.5 years, Israel's going to be conquered. Israel's going to be conquered. Well, in Revelation, it says that every nation temporarily will come under the Antichrist rule. And so, and I think I told you that Arthur Katz, a Jewish Messianic Jew, had a teaching that I just heard 6 months or 8 months ago on CD that he said the Holy Spirit told him that the nation of Israel was going to be judged, was going to be persecuted even worse than under Hitler. And the reason for it, that God was going to allow it, and they said, God said, don't pray against this, because I've got to cause my people of Israel, I've got to cause them to come to the place where they stop their arrogance, stop their pride, and are willing to repent. And finally, when they repent, then the Holy Spirit's going to break out, and Jews are going to get saved. And I mean, you get a Jew saved, you got someone saved. Have you ever been around a Messianic Jew? I mean, to tell you, one of the first testimonies I ever heard after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit was Samuel Feldman, a Messianic Jew, and he spoke for 2 hours and 15 minutes, and God spoke to him directly. And I was just like this all the time. And one miracle after another. The Jews seek for a sign. And when that remnant of the Jews, after this judgment, that remnant of the Jews gets saved, there'll be an outpouring of the Spirit of God as never before. This is how Daniel was praying. Daniel was praying through this, clear back these centuries before. And the Holy Spirit, through Gabriel, was speaking. Now, verse 12, chapter 10. Then Gabriel, this is he, Gabriel, he said to me, that's Daniel, don't be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling your heart before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. When you pray words that God puts in your heart, made alive by the Holy Spirit of God, God hears. And when God hears, Satan better look out. Hallelujah, praise God. But, verse 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, this is a demonic spirit. This Greek or this Hebrew word does not mean a human being. This is a demonic spirit over this kingdom. It's an occult level spirit over this kingdom. Now, the application to you as an individual is this. God, I mean, the enemy, you're not praying like Daniel did. And he probably won't have you pray that way. But when you pray under the anointing of the Spirit of God, and you have repented, and you have confessed, and you have received, and you believe, and you receive this, and you know that this is what God is going to do, Satan will oppose you. Then there can be demonic spirits sent against you. Spirit of doubt, spirit of unbelief. Religious spirits. And you got to oppose them. You've got to oppose them. In the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God. Asking God. Because even though it won't be the same level that Daniel was praying against, the principle is the same. You've got to oppose them. This case for 3 weeks, 21 days. And finally God said, Michael, go down there and help Daniel. Praise God. The archangel Michael, the battle angel right at the throne of God. Behold, Michael, one of the chief princes. This is the highest, one of the highest. Well, he's right there next to God, he and Gabriel, to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. That's another demon spirit over that kingdom. Verse 18. Then this one with human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. This is Gabriel. He came to Daniel and strengthened him. God will strengthen you if you'll stand up. You may not be resisting this kind of, this level, but he will strengthen you. I don't know how many times. I've battled over many things. Many things. But God, we've said it to each other. Merrill and I have said it to each other. When we resist in the Spirit, led by the Spirit of God, God always comes. Always comes. Every time. Not as quick as I want. He lets me go through more than I want to go through. But you'll come. He will strengthen you. I guarantee he will strengthen you. Be encouraged. He will strengthen you. Don't worry about the enemy coming against you. He will strengthen you. Don't let fear come into your heart. He will strengthen you. And his strength is stronger than anything the enemy can do. And he said, oh man of high esteem, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't fear. Take courage. Peace be with you. Peace. Shalom. Inner union with God. Total harmony with God in your spirit, in your soul, in your body. Now, as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength. May my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia, another demonic spirit. So I'm going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. This is another demonic spirit over Greece. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. There is one who stands firmly with me against these forces, or no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, the Archangel Michael. Now, this is my final word for tonight. I thought I was going to get further than this, but this is my final word for tonight. It's going to take me longer than I thought to get through this. It always does. But if we would read Ezekiel 10, and I just want to tell you something about Ezekiel 10 rather than read it. Ezekiel 10, the prophet is describing what is happening in the preparation of God, of the true church of God, for the final battles that are coming, and how the church is going to be purified, how the church is going to be purified, and how the wheels inside a wheel, which is the moving Holy Spirit-led church of God, anointed, purified, and how that church, led by the cherubim and the seraphim, like Daniel was led by the Archangel Michael and the Archangel Gabriel. But how the Holy Spirit, the sevenfold Spirit, the perfection of the Holy Spirit of God. You will hear me speak a lot about the sevenfold Spirit because God is trying to teach me more of what this means. But there is a book in the book of Revelation. The sevenfold Spirit is mentioned four different times. Revelation 5:6 says that the sevenfold Spirit will be sent out on all the earth. And the sevenfold Spirit of God is that Spirit that inhabits the entire church and brings the church together and speaks to the church and anoints the church so that the church will be purified. So we'll be finally together all around the world. We'll all be together, all believing God, all led by the Holy Spirit of God, where the power of God is released as never before, and Satan will be defeated, and our prayers will be answered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.